This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib, and coming up on Africa News Tonight,
we find our position as commissioners under his leadership no longer tenable. Consequently, we regret to announce our resignation.
That's Margaret Mawakanya, as three members of Kenya's Election Commission resigned today. Details coming up.
Also, a court in Somaliland has sentenced a poet to 3 years in prison after charging her with insulting and defaming the state. And fighting terrorism is high on the agenda for the African Land Forces Summit, which begins today.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on African News Tonight. In our top story, Ethiopia has been engulfed in unprecedented levels of political unrest over the past 3 years. Now, a young Ethiopian technocrat, widely seen as a reformer, has been selected as prime minister. To update us on the matter, we have in studio Tigist Gamme from VOA's Horn of Africa service. Welcome, Tigist.
Thank you for having me.
So how is Abiy Ahmed, the new prime minister of Ethiopia, doing so far?
The new prime minister took office on April 2nd, and this past 2 weeks have been a very busy week for him. He have did several speeches to the public, unusually, which a lot of officials previously didn't do much. Usually the officials address the people through medias and all that, but he chose to travel to different regions and speak to the people directly. And his first stop was in eastern part of the country, in Somali region, the capital, Jijiga. And he met with the people and he promised to end the border issue between the biggest regions in the country, Oromia region and Somali region. And this border issue have been risen for loss of many lives, and also over a million people were displaced. And he promised to work with the regional governments to solve that problem. And he is really welcomed in a very unprecedented manner. And his next stop was in Oromia region, Ambo town, which is about 120-something kilometers from the capital, Addis. And that is historical in many sense. First of all, he comes from that region, Oromia region. He speaks the language, that's his native language, and he spoke in his native language, Afan Oromo, to the people. Thousands have showed up at the Ambo Stadium and cheered him throughout his speech. And that makes him probably the first Ethiopian prime minister to address the public in his native language. And Ambo is known for anti-government protests for many, many years. We can say since this government took office in 1992, especially the past 3 years also, there was a big resistance and they paid a lot for this struggle. And we've been talking from our service, Horn of Africa service. We spoke to a few residents and how they feel about the new prime minister. And they say they hope for change. They hope for bright future for them and also for the country in general. But they remain skeptical. And their main fear is, even though on top level, there is a new prime minister and new hope coming, but they still feel the structure on local level is still the same people are in that. So they remain skeptical.
So he is traveling all over and good reception. But let me ask you, Tigis, the state of emergency declared in Ethiopia in February after the shocking resignation of Ahmed's predecessor, Haile Mariam Desalegn, is still in place. Military officers are actually running the country as long as the state of emergency is in play. So as a result, some critics are saying the new prime minister's hold on state security is minimal, making it extremely hard for him to move forward with any reform agenda. So how do we reconcile the situation?
Right. The state of emergency was declared for a second round again in mid-February, as you said, right after the next day after the previous prime minister resigned. And after Dr. Abiy Ahmed, the new prime minister, took office, people are longing for him to speak about that. Yesterday, he spoke at Millennium Hall in Addis, and 25,000 people showed up waiting for him to mention this, but he refrained from talking about the state of emergency. That's why his critics are saying he still don't have that power to do what he's promising to do. But his supporters have some things to say. There are some tangible things they claim he have gone so far. He have signed the order to close the notorious prison in Addis Makalawi. It was shut down just last week. That's one. The other thing is internet service have been blocked in Oromia since December. And just last week again, internet is back. Even though the command post is in charge of the country, it seems like there are some things we're seeing. And just today, before I came to the studio, high-ranking officials from Oromia who were arrested during this state of emergency are released. The one is Oromia Region Justice Bureau Head Tayyid Nda. Another one is university professor and blogger, you might know about him, Siyum Tashome. So these are good starts, but again, the state of emergency is again a big hurdle in front of him.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
Tigis Tgemme, VOA Horn of Africa reporter. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Kenya's elections ended in October, but turmoil continues at the country's Independent Electoral Commission. Three commissioners quit their jobs today. They say the IEBC is dysfunctional and too vulnerable to meddling, echoing concerns raised during last year's contentious polls. Meanwhile, a top IEBC administrator is under investigation for alleged financial mismanagement. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Speaking to journalists Monday in Nairobi, Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission official Margaret Mwachanya said the head of the electoral body has failed.
Given this severe deterioration of confidence in the commission chair, we find our position as commissioners under his leadership no longer tenable. Consequently, we regret to announce our resignation from the commission with immediately effect.
Mwachanya was reading a resignation letter on behalf of two other colleagues, Deputy Chairperson Consolata Maina and Commissioner Paul Kurgat. The electoral agency's top officials were divided over how best to conduct the 2017 elections and administrative issues regarding the procurement of voting materials. The latest development dividing the commissioners was the suspension of the head of the commission's administrative wing, Ezra Chiloba, over financial mismanagement. Mwachanya blames politicians for the commission's woes.
We must banish external players from the commission boardroom and reclaim the commission's independence.
Senator Kipchumba Murkomen of the ruling Jubilee Party is now calling for Commission Head Wafula Chebukati to step down and for the IEBC to be disbanded.
Basically a confirmation of the problems that have been bedeviling her IEBC, and particularly the management of IEBC by the chair, Mr. Chebukati. We think that this is a culmination of a failure of leadership in the commission. And it is important that Mr. Chebukati quickly takes action to resign from his office now with the remaining two commissioners.
With the three commissioners resigning and another fleeing the country last year, the two remaining commissioners and Chebukati will be unable to make decisions. By law, the commission must have four active members to carry out business. The head of the Electoral Law and Governance Institute in Africa, Felix Odhiambo, says the overhaul of the commission means it will be difficult to know what happened in 2017 presidential vote.
The question would be, why would you call for the disbanding of the commission when the chair has called for an important audit of aspects of the 2017 election? The question would be, who stands to benefit in a situation where that audit is not conducted? Where does this leave election management in this country?
Kenya's Supreme Court nullified the presidential election last August, saying the Electoral Commission did not follow the constitution and the law. The commission conducted another election in October. President Uhuru Kenyatta won that vote in a landslide after challenger Raila Odinga pulled out of the race. After the resignation of the IEBC officials, the commission's head, Chebukati, has called for a crisis meeting with the remaining officials. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
A court in Somaliland has sentenced a poet to 3 years in prison after charging her with insulting and defaming the state. The prosecutors say that while on a trip to Mogadishu early this year, Naima Ahmed Ibrahim advocated for unity with Somalia. Police arrested her in January after she returned from her trip. Somaliland, which formerly was the northwest part of Somalia, declared independence in 1991 after a war with Mogadishu's forces. Although no nation recognizes that declaration, Somaliland's government in Hargeisa operates separately from the Mogadishu government. The Somaliland Human Rights Center says it is very concerned about the conviction and sentence. The group says freedom of expression is enshrined in the constitution and urged the government in Hargeisa to respect its own constitution. Ibrahim has advocated the idea of unifying all Somali communities in eastern Africa, such as those in northern Kenya.
In the Gambia, doctors have ended a month-long strike. The doctors were infuriated by the health minister's accusation that they stole drugs from health facilities to operate private pharmacies. VOA's Pandaria Mbai reports.
A breakthrough has been reached in Gambia's month-long doctor strike. Dr. Ibrahim Abba is the president of Gambia's Association of Resident Doctors.
We have reached an agreement to restore full services in all public health facilities. This was made possible following a series of engagement with the government and reaching a favorable agreement with both parties binding.
In a joint statement signed by Gambia's Vice President Fatoumata Diallo Tambadjang and the doctors' representatives, the government promises to address some of the doctors' demands. For example, the government has promised to allocate $2 million to procure essential drugs and medical supplies through competitive international bidding. The delivery of relief medical services worth $500,000 from MedService through an aid group called Safe Hands for Girls also is part of the deal. Doctors had said that drugs and supply shortages were caused by failures at the Ministry of Health. For instance, they had claimed that no drugs had been imported into the country in more than a year, while X-ray machines and other equipment had broken down. Dr. Ibrahim Abba again.
As an association that is ready to ensure that the Gambian people get the health care that they deserve, we will not relent to continue the dialogue with all stakeholders and to ensure that the promises and assurances are fulfilled. We want to make it clear, again, we want to make it clear that the Ministry of Health will be held accountable from now on, and we will no longer remain silent and watch our innocent patients die.
The agreement also calls for procuring $1 million worth of essential drugs and medical supplies through a World Bank project operated by the Gambian charity, the National Nutrition Agency, NANA. Part of the agreement also calls for mobilizing aid from donor partners to help improve Gambia's health sector.
Therefore, in the light of the above, we have agreed to unanimously restore full clinical services in all public health facilities effective today, 14th April 2018. On that note, we pray that the great God of nations take us into a better Gambia where better healthcare services is not only for those who can afford it.
He says doctors realized the strike was bad for patients, but felt it was necessary to improve the system. The deal with the government omits one key demand from the doctors. They had called for the dismissal of Health Minister Safilo Sise. She remains in her position. For VOA Africa, this is Pandaria Mbai reporting.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 20 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Abiy Ahmed, a young Ethiopian technocrat, widely seen as a reformer, recently selected as prime minister, is traveling around the country in hopes of winning hearts and minds. Kenya's elections ended in October, but turmoil continues inside the country's independent electoral commission. And the Gambia, doctors have ended a month-long strike. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Fighting terrorism is high on the agenda for the African Land Forces Summit, which begins today. Military leaders from across Africa and from the United States are gathered in Abuja for the week-long seminar. Nigerian Army Chief of Staff Lieutenant General T.Y. Baratai opened the gathering by saying that previous summits have enhanced security in Africa. He says the summits have helped African governments forge a common approach to combating cross-border threats. The commanders will focus on finding ways to improve their ability to coordinate operations against piracy, transnational crime, sectarian violence, and attacks from militant groups. This is the sixth African Land Forces gathering. Former U.S. President Barack Obama organized the first one in 2010, and since then, the summit has moved to a different African country each year.
Malawi has completed trials on a suitable variety of industrial hemp that can grow well. The aim is to find a substitute for the country's main cash crop, tobacco. It is in decline because of the anti-smoking programs supported by the World Health Organization. But anti-drug groups fear the shift to hemp production will promote marijuana smoking among Malawians. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The trials started in 2015 after the Malawi Parliament approved a motion on the country's need to start growing industrial hemp. Nebat Nyilenda is the director at Invigro, a company tasked to carry out the trials.
Our trials were based on the understanding that we can take advantage of industrial hemp as a cash crop to help in employment creation, in foreign exchange generation, and in value addition in Malawi.
The trials were conducted at country's three agricultural research stations, Chitedze, Vumbwe, and Chitala. Nyirenda says they grew 10 various varieties, each with its own end use.
The varieties are meant for different products like the fiber, textile line of business, which is the apparel, so they will grow high up. Whereas for those that are needed for various oils and the pharmaceuticals, they can grow maybe as short as this, providing they give the flowers and the seed.
Meanwhile, the company has cultivated 8 hectares of hemp, expected to be harvested in June. However, anti-drug campaigners fear this will encourage young people to smoke cannabis. Nelson Zakeu is the executive director for the local NGO Drug Fight Malawi.
And the danger is that will just give an opportunity to young people to actually start consuming the local marijuana anyhow. That's the danger which we are fearing.
He says their records show that many people are now openly smoking marijuana since Parliament allowed the cultivation of industrial hemp, which is called chamba in the local language, Chichewa. That name is also used for cannabis, so some young people believe the use of the plant has been legalized. In 2015, medical doctors at Zomba Mental Hospital confirmed receiving many cases of people who develop symptoms of mental conditions like mania from smoking hemp. But some scientists disagree with the diagnosis. They say industrial hemp has generally very low content of tetrahydrocannabinol or HTC, a substance that provides highs for those who smoke marijuana. Meet Yotam is a laboratory technician at Chitese Agriculture Research Station in the capital, Lilongwe.
In the samples so far, I've found that the tetrahydrocannabinol and in this industrial hemp, it has shown that the drug is very, very minimal, almost negligible, because it ranges from 0.02 to 0.1.
Some marijuana plants can contain THC levels as high as 25%. The future of hemp cultivation will become known when the crops are evaluated. If the government determines hemp to be a viable crop for cultivation, then tobacco farmers may be recruited to grow it on a large scale, and officials will introduce proper regulations to prevent its misuse. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhibi in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. April is Autism Month in the United States, and next week on Health Chat, I will discuss autism, a range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, and nonverbal communication, among other things. Our guest is Scott Badesh, President and CEO of the Autism Society of America. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari says he will seek his party's presidential ticket to contest elections in February 2019, ending months of speculation about his future. The future of 75-year-old Muhammadu Buhari on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Stand up!